All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Behind the Wheel podcast. I don't need my headphones yet.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyhow, it's good to see you. Thank you. Welcome back. It's cool to be able to talk to good people.
Yes, I agree.
And today we have an exceptionally good person that I've had the pleasure of meeting, and I feel like we've developed a little bit of a, you know, bro-ship.
Oh, okay. See? Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Bro-ship.
I have a lot of bro-ships.
Yeah. So... Listen, I think this person has a really interesting story, and I'll admit that I don't really know all of it myself. So I think this podcast could be a good one. For people that do not know this person, I'll tell you what you do know about him. You know his work. Because
agreed.
Kyle Cross is a veteran at this point. Well, he's a real veteran. He's an actual veteran. Oh. But he's also a veteran to the automotive photography scene, as he's been... primarily doing a lot of the Formula Drift work that you probably have seen, you know, for the past, I don't know, definitely a solid number of years, 5, 6, 7, right?
Yeah.
But so let's get him in. Let's just get the conversation
moving.
Yeah. Kyle, hey, what's up, man?
How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on?
Sorry, I don't have any good, like if you listen to a Kevin Hart podcast, you probably, like, he really throws it in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, like me, I kind of, like, set it up and then big wet fart. So, you know.
Well, it was you know, and normally for, obviously, you guys are now, the people that are watching or listening don't know this, but me and Kyle before, we were having a great conversation and. Yeah, I'm excited to have this convo with him. You know, he has a lot of insight and a lot of things that I feel need to be shared in some capacity, especially if you're into photography or media in general. And I'm excited to have you on, Mikhail.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. I've, you know, been a big fan of you guys for a long time.
Liar.
And, you know, it's been a pleasure to work with the team. You know, that's some of the stuff that... Luis and I were talking about before this is just, you know, how well you as a company treat your sponsored drivers and your team. So it's been an absolute pleasure to be part of this.
Thanks. You know, I think I appreciate that. I think what's so interesting is when I think about you and kind of how we met and different things like that. So we have a fairly new relationship the past few years. I think we knew each other in the interweb, and then we crossed at an event or so. And Kyle's one of those guys that when you meet him, he's like an instantly likable, down to earth dude.
Oh yeah.
So, for sure. Which is why I think we got along so well. And you know, full disclosure, this year I had said to Kyle, like, hey, like, you know, any interested in maybe doing some content? So if you watch some of our live streams in on the weekends, especially like on Formula Drift weekends, that's generally Kyle running through the paddock speaking to these drivers.
And you know, Kyle is such a relief and kind of nice to when you go on live, because I get to kind of tune in as not an employee, as a fan. So it's nice, you know, to see Cody pop up and be like, oh, sometimes I get a little nervous. I'm like, oh, wait, who's taking over the Instagram?
We got hacked.
Then when I see, yeah, exactly. Then when I see you, I'm like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah, it's is so much fun because, you know, you get to talk to the drivers in a candid moment, right? And that is huge, right? You get some insights into what's going on with their weekend at that moment. That's just a neat thing about FD in general, is that, you know, you can get out there and you can do that. You can talk with the drivers and you can get some of that behind the scenes information. But you know, to be able to go out there and bring that to the live stream has just been fantastic. It's been a lot of fun to do that.
So I want to ask you some stuff that legitimately some of it I know, but it's really spotty for me. But I want to, because I really want to, I want to be able to talk about kind of you covering some of the Formula Drift stuff and kind of what it takes and different things like that. But before we get there, I want to lead up by basically saying, like, give me a quick synopsis of how you became a car person.
Yeah.
Formula Drift is a very unique motorsport. Like, if you were, let's say you were a classically trained photographer, and I know many of them, between Luke Munnell and a bunch of different guys that have been shooting, you know, automotive photography for years. But if you're going to be a Formula Drift photographer, and I know you shoot other things, so I'm not discrediting that, but
sure,
when you're going to shoot FD, it requires a very specific niche. And generally, if you were going to be an automotive photographer going into, let's say, motorsports in general, you know, you might see that people graduate through, you know, some of the different, you know, NASA events or SECA events, and then eventually maybe shoot IMSA or something like that. But how do you get to FD? So, like, give me your car background that brings you to that, to that place.
So it starts even before cars, right? One of the things I was telling Luis before this is I started out in landscape photography. I did a lot of landscape. It's a passion, right? It was a release for me. And it really started with, hey, you really take cool photos of, you know, skies and plants and stuff. Would you try taking a photo of my car? And it was, you know, I'm a car guy. I've always been a car guy. You know, I have a plethora of cars right now that are just very eclectic. I have an 86 Chevy crew cab long bed.
Okay.
I have a 2022 Cadillac CT5V Blackwing,
which is bitching, by the way.
I wish I could bring it this weekend, but that's a little bit long of a trip. Right. I have my daily is a 2014 Ford Flex on Koenigs.
Nice.
I have a 1968 VW Notchback, which was never sold in the United States.
That's crazy. That's a crazy one.
Yeah, and then I have a 71 VW Squareback, which is a station wagon. So, again, I'm all over the place, but I've always been a car guy. So, like, when people started asking me, hey, would you start taking photos of my cars? It was like, cool, yeah, definitely, right? And I started to gain a little traction there. And then, funny enough, it was people like Derek Madison who – you know, he's a local guy to me. He was like, hey, you really do cool stuff there. Would you be interested in coming out and shooting our local grassroots? And I shot the local grassroots, and I got known within the grassroots, and then it became an opportunity. Hey, we had a feeder series called MDU, Midwest Drift Union.
Of course.
And I got to know a few of the drivers for MDU, and it really started there, right? It was hey, I'm going to come out. I'd gotten some experience shooting local, you know, understanding some of the settings that you have to get into, and really trying to hone all of those skills, and then I took it to MDU, and it was cool, right? And funny enough, some of your friends here, Maximum Driftcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did a grid life about, I guess, 6 years ago, at Gingerman, where you guys were last weekend, right? Were you there?
No, we didn't go to, we went to Hyper, we were at Hyperfest.
Oh, Hyperfest. Okay.
Grid life is like, we're just so tight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'd already made the Hyperfest committal, but I think
down the line, we'll be working on that. Yeah.
Grid life. Yeah.
So I shot a grid life and I got to know Paco.
Right.
Through a photo that I took, and they had opened up an opportunity to shoot, editorial for them.
Okay.
And it really started there. That was about 6 years ago. And it's just been a solid progression since, you know. And again, it's a fight. I've explained this to Luis. You know, you have to consistently and constantly reinvent yourself throughout, or you're just going to be another photographer that moves to the wayside, right? Yeah. So being inventive and being willing to step outside of your comfort zone and really taking the opportunity to build relationships. And I have a friend, Jacob Gettings. He's ZZX Digital. He gives advice, and one of the things that he has always said, and this is something that I take to heart, is, you know, if you're trying to make a relationship with a company, don't start with a cold call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good advice. Great advice.
And that's just me personally.
Right.
It's not something that I was ever taught.
Right.
But I like to make relationships. I like to get to know people. Right. And that's how I then move in. You know, it's like, hey, we have a relationship. You know, let me provide you some services. Let me bring you, you know, some more value. And that's really, you know, short story very long. That's right. That's where I've come from and how I've gotten to where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Well, we spoke about this. We keep referring to we spoke about it because we kind of did
about it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of spoke about it.
Well, I was selfishly we're having a little thing today. Yeah. So I was trying to work out the thing and they were conversing while I ran and wasted all Kyle's time. That's basically what happened there.
But as we had spoken before, like we mentioned, one of the things that, you know, we find important, and Scott can say this too, is like we like to have relationships with people.
Yeah.
Scott, and I told you, Scott has more of a relationship with like Alec and the older guys, where I talk to Derek a lot more and Casey and Stukey and stuff like that. And at this point, as you mentioned, a lot of them are our friends. And the reason why is because it starts as a fan first. And it's the same with you. I mean, Scott, mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, I told you, people hit us up, you know, photographers and stuff like that. And
yeah, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. You know, and the reason why, just like you said yourself, is, you know, we like you and your work. And, you know, and that goes a long way.
Well, listen, I think... You know, there is a lot to it. Like, you know, like the way you said the relationship thing, that's always been a big thing for me. Like, same. I need to know that when I'm working with somebody, it's, you know, listen, I think that when you get to a certain level, and I don't mean like in success or anything, but I think just a level in a career, right? That you've seen the bad, you've seen the good, and you've seen the indifferent, and you know, kind of from a gut feeling, the things that work and the things that don't. And one of the things that always has really struck me that it works so well is where you can forge a professional relationship that turns into kind of also that lines of having a friendship around it, so that there is you know where I'm coming from. I know where you're coming from. We both know that we're never going to screw each other. Mm-hmm. But in the same respect, because listen, here's the thing. It's the reason that Kyle, every once in a while, he'll be out at something that we're not covering with him. Like we're not, and he'll see a couple cars and he'll text me
that's
a
awesome.
Few pictures and be like, "Yo, use
that's
these."
Dope.
And it's the reason why, like, you know, if Kyle says, "Hey, like, you know, like I got this project going on for myself that we want to have wheels on it."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not because there's this big force of whatever. And so the relationship we're developing is, you know, is kind of this back and the forth. And those relationships last way longer.
I agree.
And I think what's interesting too, and I can tell this about Kyle just from his story, is that he feels the same way. And before he even said it literally, mm-hmm. Watching the path he came through, when he says, and the reason I said, if you heard when he was talking about the MDU thing, I went, ah, it's because I think about MDU, I think about Derek Madison, I think about, you know, probably the guys that have come through that area, mm-hmm. like the Alec Robbins and different things like that. And and these are all good people.
Yeah.
Like he started out and surrounded himself with good people from the start, which makes the whole experience something that you want to keep going toward.
Absolutely.
Paco and Maximum Driftcast guys, Sam, they're good people. Yeah. Like they're fun. They're fun, but they're also good people. And so you do that around, like I get why it became something that you kind of gravitated toward, you know?
Oh yeah, it's and again, referencing back to what we were talking about before, right? For me, like this is not just a job, right? I have a job. I'm a computer programmer full time.
Right. So photography, of course, is the natural choice.
Right. but my point being is I don't have to do this, right? It's a passion for me, and it's a passion that I want to share with people who are like-minded, who value time, right? For me, you know, going out and shooting these events and making these relationships is more about the release and the separation from you know my normal everyday to this amazing opportunity that I get to be part of, right? And you know, right now I'm in the thick of it and I'm having fun and I appreciate it. But I think, you know, in maybe 10 years or whenever I'm not doing it again, right? It's going to hit me that like I was doing something really cool,
right,
over you know, a period of my life that not a lot of people get to do. And that's part of the reason that, like, again, doing the lives and just showing people a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff is so cool to me and just brings such joy to me personally to be part of.
So I don't want to get too sappy because, well, you know, that's not the kind of we're men here. I don't know if you can tell that from right. There's a lot of grunting that happens here and there, but the one thing like that I know and that we share together is that not together, but we share is that we both have kids, right? And
that's why you said together.
Together.
That would have been funny. That would have been great.
Not together. But together.
Yeah. All right.
So, but like, and so what I think about some of the stuff. One of the things that I think is a perk of the job for me. And I say this like it's your son, but for me, my daughter, like my son totally doesn't care at all about a car. Not two F's given. My daughter came with me to an FD event and absolutely fell in love with the sport. Every time Formula Drift is on the live stream or the events close, she knows the names of the drivers. She knows who she's rooting for. She's like, she watches the live stream. She'll fall asleep on the, you know, in the, like, let's say Atlanta when it goes to like midnight and, you know, she'll fall asleep trying, what happened? You know what I mean? Like, so, and so I love it. But so you have gotten the opportunity that I've gotten to have with her, which is I get to take her, because of the relationships I have, to some of the areas that people that go to this event as a spectator will never see. And I know for a fact that, especially when we talk about some of the things your son's gotten to do with Vaughn Gittin and some of these people, you've provided him with things that maybe he doesn't even realize that no one else will get. How does that's such a great feeling as a father, isn't it?
That it is so surreal. Like, you know, and it's wild to me because like Mason, my son, and Vaughn, they have a relationship that is just insane. Last year at St. Louis, he came in and Vaughn knew that it was his last year for the time being.
Right.
And I typically bring my son to one of the days. You know, and we do spectator stuff. And Vaughn saw him, pulled him into the truck, and they had an hour long conversation about just life in general. And like that's insane. And I don't know if my son realizes like the cool stuff he's gotten to do, and he's 13 years old.
Yeah.
But it blows me away. And, and so many people, I mean, Jared, Deanda knows him. Jared, you know, calls him out on the live stream occasionally. Like, all of that is so just amazing. And I get to be part of it.
Yeah. For me, especially, I didn't ever know, like, I'm not one of these guys that wants my kids to be like me, not by any chance, none of that. But when it was my daughter that turned to have her own genuine interest in this stuff, she's not a car person per se. Like, she's not like out there wrenching all the time with me, but she loves Formula Drift. And I think it speaks twofold. One, I think it speaks to the relatability that a lot of these drivers can bring. You know, she got to go to the event and get to meet these people firsthand and see just how good people that most of these drivers are. And the other piece of it is that if you have never been to a Formula Drift event in person, you have no idea what you're missing.
That's very true.
Because you can't replicate it on the live stream.
The live stream is fun to watch.
Well, no, listen, that's not what I mean, though. Like, if you're already into drifting, the live stream does a good job.
I don't know,
But if you're not into drifting, you could turn on the live stream and not really understand and not really. But, like, there is something about, like, being within a stone's throw of some of these cars and feeling it in your chest and watching the smoke and the excitement at the track. And I know that you, even as a fan in the middle of some of these media areas shooting while you're working, you're also, you feel that same thing at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've always been a fan first. Right. And I have my favorites, and I get out there and I geek out when, you know, like I said, Chelsea's a friend of mine, but like when Chelsea does like a sick backy in, you know, on a by run, like that is so much fun. Or, you know, Alec has been a friend of mine for years now. When he goes out and kills it, I'm out there in the media box geeking out, like, you know, I'm screaming and I'm yelling at him. He can't hear me, but I'm a fan, right? I'm having fun at the same time that they are.
Yep.
And it is neat. And, you know, one of the things that you touched on a little bit, that I think is important. And if anybody has an opportunity to go do a Formula Drift weekend, is the approachability.
Yeah.
The approachability of most of the drivers is just fantastic. You know, there's very few other places where famous people are this approachable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is neat. Yeah, that is for sure. So neat.
Yeah. Sure. And if you're on the other side of this, and I guess I'll speak to this, but like if you're a car person that really loves everything automotive, bunch of different platforms, loves maybe fabricating, building your own stuff, if you want to see ideas of things that you never thought from a build perspective, that, you know, like if you don't really understand how these cars are built, if you just love cars and kind of everything that's surrounding building cars, the stuff that you get to be within, you know, a foot and a half of and be able to look into and go, oh my God, how did they do, like, why did they, that's what, I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
These are things that you have the ability to see. You know, you go to an F1 race, you go to a NASCAR race, unless you're the guy that either lucked out and won some radio contest or has a bunch of money or a friend with a bunch of money, you can't get close to these cars, not at all.
This is another thing too, and this is a true story, totally off, different from what his, you know, what he just said. But for like for myself, like being an FD fan and stuff like that, and I was with in Hyperfest, I was with Jim, which he's been a Koenig salesperson, but he's been at Koenig for over 20 years.
Yeah.
So then I go and we're at the pits where they're doing like the burnout pit. So we're over there hanging out, and I go to Jim. I'm like, hey, that's Jared. Oh. That's the FD driver's Jared. Like,
you'll like
that's
this.
That's Jared.
You'll like this
and he story. Goes, oh. He goes, Jared. And Jared's like, Jim. And I'm like, you know him? And I go, big fan. Just kind of, you know. But it's like, that's how close.
Wait, tell him the other part.
I don't want to tell them.
Come on.
No.
Come on. It's just between us friends. There's only 12 people that are going to watch. You tell him. Give a shot.
So then I go, you're going to. So
he says, my Jim.
Okay, go for it.
You tell him. But I'm just trying to. I just want to make sure.
Oh, no, this didn't happen. This is towards with me.
With Jim and Jim. It was you and Jim that spoke about this.
Yeah, me and Jim.
That's what I'm saying. I want to make that clear.
So Jim goes to me. So we leave Jared. Jared says, yo, Jim, you know, Jim's a good guy. We've known each other for years. You know, whatever. So I'm like, okay, we go away. And then Jim goes to me, oh, yeah, we've known each other for a long time. So I go, how do you guys know each other? And he goes, he used to work at McGuire's. And I go, what the hell is McGuire's? So that's what they're laughing. So that's what he thinks is hilarious. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, so anyhow, all right. That was the story. That was the story. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That
was really cool for me, an experience that, you know, like, you know, just to be able to be in the background of things like that and get to meet Jared. And it was cool, man, you know, to fanboy a little bit, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting to see some of these backstage, behind the scenes type things to realize, you know, who's friends with who, what they're really like, stuff like that.
But yeah,
it definitely is. It's fun. And to your point, like, you know, you can be a foot away from some of these things, some of these cars and see some of the things that happen with their cars, and you can ask them, right? And and a lot of times, especially if they came up with it, they're gonna geek out about it and like tell you a lot of stuff. I've sat down, you know, Kyle Mohan, he's got the only rotary.
Yeah,
that dude will talk to you for hours about like what he's done to make his car competitive in the FD world. And that's cool. Like, you don't get that anywhere else. Everybody else is very tight-lipped about what they what they do. FD, they want to share. They want to be part of the conversation.
Right, but you would also agree from just being around cars and a lot of these drivers that there is, I'm not saying that like there's not settings, setups, you know, especially for certain tracks, maybe you've never been to one and the other drivers have. Like, I'm not saying that there's not things that, you know, another driver can give you that would not help you, that would help you. But what I'm saying is, you know, every car is so uniquely different. Even if it's the same platform, same build, similar parts, just the nature of every driving style, kind of every tune, they're always going to be, you know, kind of their own mess to sort, you know? And so I think that there's a little bit more of openness to it, because at the end of the day, it's great that, you know, the car may only have, you know, 700 horsepower and the other guy may get up and he's got 1200 horsepower. But at the end of the day, it's not always, depending on what track you're at, it may not always be that opportunity to really use all that power to your advantage, especially since you're going to trade. You're going to go from a chase to a lead. At some point, you got to follow the slower guy anyway. Yeah, so, you know, there's only so much room you can play with, right? So I think it's interesting to know that a lot of this information will kind of get carried through. How do you balance having a full-time? You talked about it before. You have a full-time job. You legitimately, are you at your full-time job right now? Is that what we're looking at? Your office there?
I mean, I'm in my house office. Yes.
Okay, fair. All right. So we're not waiting for the director of HR to come busting through the door. So how does it, Kyle, how does it work? I mean, I would say based off of the number of years you have in and kind of what I see your job title is, that you're a fairly advanced programmer on the chain in your company at this point.
I've been with my company for 15 years, and I'm one of the senior folks in the organization. How do I balance it? Luckily I have a decent amount of PTO, but you know, most of the time the events I go to are on the weekends, and to me, and I was talking about this a little bit earlier, this is a release to me, right? Yeah. This is a, for me to kind of have a reset and step away from the stress that is my real job, mm-hmm. and go and have another stressful weekend.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing weekend, right? Yeah. It's being able to go out and like interface with people, but you know that I'm doing a lot of work over a weekend, but it's cool and it's rewarding and it's fun. So you know, for me, this again is somewhat of a, you know, the work balance life, it's work life and FD or you know, photography. This is kind of my sweet escape, right? Is what I kind of call it.
Give me that look at what an FD week looks like for you. Because here's what I'm imagining. I'm imagining that practice day is on Thursday. So most of the time you got to be in transit prior to that, or at least early on that Thursday, to be able to be at the event in enough time for your media meeting, et cetera, et cetera. So you work all the way up until, you know, the day that, you know, let's say you work Monday through Wednesday, you take a Thursday off or whatever you're going to do. You get on an airplane, you fly to the event, you rent a car, you get to the event, you get out there, you start shooting, whatever it may be. You're there all day long. You shoot your stuff. You go to a hotel, you know, you eat, you do the whole thing. You're probably trying to balance some post work there at the same time, because remember, at the end of the day,
I'm already stressed listening.
Well, right. So, and you're going to do this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Try to fly home probably on a Sunday so that you could be at work on Monday. So I can't imagine that you finished all that post yet. Like, you still got a mountain of images to climb through. You got a regular day job. I mean, this is like, so to Kyle, like, how does it, am I close? Like, I mean, what does this look like?
No, I think you're pretty spot on. You know, for example, this weekend is New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm working all day Wednesday, and then I fly out Wednesday night, and I'll fly into Philly, drive up to Englishtown, with enough time to go to sleep for a couple hours, get up in the morning, go to the media meeting. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm shooting all day. I try to get some work in, you know, either at the track in off time or after. I was explaining to Max and Luis, I'll sit down and just walk through and try to cull, you know, do like one pass on my photos, because especially like this weekend, right, we have pro and pro spec,
right?
I'm going to take well over 10,000 photos, so I have to cut that down, because you know, those 10,000 photos, not 10,000 are deliverable,
right? Right.
So I have to go through and I have to delete a bunch.
He taught us uppercase X.
What did you talk about in Lightroom?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Lightroom. Yeah. So I go through and I go through probably about three times, but you know, I try to get as much done over the weekend that I can.
Yeah.
But I also have an agreement with anybody that I work with that, I have a week turnaround, so right. I guarantee within a week. So, you know, on Monday night when I get done with work, I'm sitting in my computer, like, you know,
yeah.
trying to edit photos, and you know, it's just it, you have to get into a process. You know, your media guy there, Max, we were talking about it. You know, it's what do you do to allow you to kind of get in that zone. And it's okay, I'm in that zone and I'm just working. And, you know, my family, God love them, they've gotten used to it. Mm-hmm. and they know that, you know, the week after a drift weekend, I'm gonna be busy in the evenings, and I'm gonna run through, but once I'm done, I'm done, and you know, I'm back to doing things.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you said so many questions that spawns from these things, but like, so you just spoke about how your workflow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a pretty granular piece of information that's interesting, right? So as far as workflow goes, you bring everything into Lightroom. So you take all, you download all your cards. You have 10,000 images that you import
mm-hmm.
from those cards into Lightroom. So you store them on your computer for at least a temporary set of time.
Yeah.
What are we using computer wise? Give me the run down there.
So, my computer is a MacBook Pro, mm-hmm. Fully spec'd out. It's 512. It's good Lord, I would have
it's
to
as,
look
it's as good it. As it can as you can get at the time you bought it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, 16 gigs of memory. It's the Pro from the 2021 model.
Got it.
So it's got 512 memory. It has enough in it for me on a weekend. I also, you know, on any given time have a few of these sitting around. So
of course.
If I need to of get course. Stuff and I, these are 1 gig, solid state drives.
Right.
So I have that when I get home and I get done and I get my deliverables out. Right. I also have a cloud storage, a RAID array that has, 8 terabytes of data. So, I tend to keep my images even after for a set amount of time. So if something happens, right, you know, some of my clients, they prefer Dropbox. Some of my clients, I use a web version of access to my RAID server. I have other clients that prefer WeTransfer. But there's always an opportunity for something to go awry where my client doesn't get the photos, or they don't, you know, we transfer. It has 7 days. They don't download them within 7 days. I'm not just going to delete my True. Images because I've passed them to them. So I hold on to them, and I actually hold on to them for probably about a year or two before I get rid of them. And it also gives me a little bit of, you know, ability to go back and like, hey, I want to re-edit this photo and do something cool with it. Right. Cause that's the other thing, as I talked, you know, constantly reinventing yourself, looking back at where you were a year ago and seeing how you can adjust and how you can make changes and take an image that you thought was really good a year ago and make an adjustment and see if, you know, if, hey, you've improved or, you know, you've changed your style and understand the changes that have happened over time. But yeah, I mean, I tend to have a lot of data. I will say as a photographer, I started out on a Windows machine and I started out with GIMP, which is an open source version of like Photoshop.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, I forget what brought me over, but like I tried Photoshop and it was like, oh my God, the world has opened up to me.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's one of those things like you just have to have, you have to have a good photo editing software. You have to have, good cataloging, right? Because what I need to do, you know, hey, Scott, you've sent me a message. You want a photo of Travis Reeder from, you know, 2021 at Irwindale.
Right.
And you're looking for this very specific thing. If I don't index and I don't set up my cataloging properly, I'm never going to be able to find that.
Yeah. Right.
From Orlando, I had something like 900 photos that were usable photos. If you're looking for a very specific photo in there, you know.
Right, good luck.
Right, right.
Yeah, so. It's crazy because it's like, I think about that. So your workflow, you come in, you dump all the images from the cards onto the computer, you're going to take a stroll into Lightroom, and you're going to kind of quick, like, doom, 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 kind of basically only marking ones, let's say, that you feel are on your first pass even remotely usable. Because, you know, you take 10,000 photos, you know that there's a few thousand in there that either are completely the same, especially like when you're shooting at a high frame rate per second, right? You're going to have the same photo basically from here to about here,
yeah.
But you'll have like seven photos there, right? You don't need seven. You need the one that you feel is the better one.
Yep.
And then the rest need to go at least off to the side.
Yep.
So you kind of go through quick, let's say, give them all a rating. And then now you're only going to look at the photos that you've rated on the next pass because you at least know these are usable.
Yep.
And now you're going through looking for the ones you think you need. Maybe it's the ones for the clients that you have. Maybe it's the ones that you're like, wow, this is really good. Maybe it's the ones that you feel like, you know what, I can come back, I can do something with this.
Yep, yep.
You mark them again. And then I would imagine on the final run through are going to be the ones that you're going to determine are going to be the selects, the keepers, the ones that you're going to edit.
Yeah. I mean, that's for the most part, that's the way I do. I'm a little more dangerous with the way I live. And my first pass is, and I was explaining earlier, I flag them for deletion.
Yeah.
Right. My first pass is,
but I think you've gotten to that point where you understand probably what you like and what you need and being able to kind of see it, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's is this thing even in focus?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay. But
because
10,000 photos, Kyle, all right, I'll give you that there's going to be a couple hundred that are just going to be completely off. And I would imagine that there's probably going to be another 1,000 out of 10,000 that are, because you're shooting so much on track photography, that the nature of, you know, panning and trying to get that motion blur right and all these different things, you're going to have some that are just not sharp and not good and stuff like that. All right, I get that. All right. But so now we're from 10,000, we're down to 8,000. All right. So what you're saying is making my sphincter muscle tighten up just a little bit, because what we're talking about here is the fact that you're deleting them, as in you feel so confident that I'm definitely not going to want these photos, that I'm not even going to let them chill out here until I finish my workflow.
I mean, some of them, and this is me calling myself out, right? Some of them are really bad, and that's okay, right?
Sorry, we're fighting over our earphone.
Because it keeps like plugging off one side,
and it's like I'm like dragging my head this way. I'm like, this is bad.
They're just it's Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, well, we're not gonna kiss, and we're all out of spaghetti. So I mean, I get the photos, but that's a lot of photos to delete.
I get where you're coming from, though. At the end of the day, that you've gotten to a certain point where he understands what he's looking for. He understands what he needs. And that's what, you know, I think at a certain point you become that type of, you know, at first you're always nervous.
When you shoot as many events as you do, I think there is that comfortability about.
Because we were talking about this too. There's also that taking up space thing, which is the toughest part about media. It's like constant money on spending on space and where to put these pictures and how long you should have them.
Right.
It's just eventually you're just like delete, delete, delete. You know, I get it.
I get the whole deleting thing. I'm just saying, like, he's not even done with his workflow. But I get, all right, Kyle, I'm gonna give it to you. You got balls of steel. We're with you. Trying to flex on us on the podcast.
Maybe it's I'm just stupid.
I don't think so. So you delete all these images, and now you're left with what you're going to play with or what you're going to edit or et cetera. And then I guess that's it. Do you think that that's pretty much on an average as far as you get over the course of the weekend before you make it home?
Yeah. If I'm lucky. Yeah. Now this is again, calling myself out a little bit. And part of the reason I don't do as much video, right? Video, everything, you have to edit everything before you can even like storyboard, right? You have mm-hmm. to make sure that color grading is good and all that stuff. And each individual clip is color graded in a certain way. Where with photography, I have a little bit more play, right? If I'm sitting in a certain location and I'm shooting, let's say I shoot a part of the round, right? So I shoot the top 16 in this spot. The lighting stays similar, right? I can do some batch editing, right? There may be individuals, and I always do this, right? I will go through and I'll do some batch editing. But then I go back and I verify that each one of those photos is the way I would want it, right? And if it's not, then it's taking the time to work on those individual photos. But I have a little bit of power in the fact that I can batch edit some of those. So when you talk about, you know, at the end of a weekend, I've culled down from 10,000 photos to 800, right? Yeah. And those 800 are the ones that I want to play with. I can walk through and I can batch edit, and then from those I can then select a set of photos that I really want to work with, and those become my deliverables, right? And I'll hold on to some for myself, right? Yeah, yeah. Because again, there's stuff that I like to post. I like to continue to be relevant. I also want to make sure that, like, if people are wondering who I am and what I'm about, they can go out to, you know, my social medias, they can do, Google searches, and they can look for Kyle Cross Photography and see my quality of work and know that, you know, there's stuff out there. Because while I love my clients, I don't expect any one of them to ever use my name. That's not what my contract is.
Right.
My contract is not, hey, I'm working for you. You have to use my right. photo with my watermark and use my name.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
You're paying me for a service.
Right. Yeah.
I was just going to say that's what a lot of young photographers don't understand is that, like, once you become a professional and you move into a professional relationship with a company, right, you're providing them a service, you're providing them work, and it is now their property.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, it's photography on one end has become, and I say this as a photo hobbyist myself, right? Mm-hmm. I love photography, always have. I have a lot of gear, too much gear, which is interesting because the less I use it now, the more it ages, and then, you know. But with that said, I think that there's an interesting scope to photography, which is that, you know, you're out there and there's a clear divide between people that take photos and people that make images. And yeah. I think if anybody's ever been a creator or a photographer or a videographer, they understand what the two differences are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of people that run around with a camera now. And, you know, and listen, don't get me wrong, the technology on a lot of the equipment, even cell phones, is just so crazy that you could get away with it in a lot of different circumstances, especially if you're going to factor post into it. But there is a very large difference between somebody that takes a bunch of photos and comes away with, hey, these ones were actually pretty good, and someone that can stand there and know how to make an image happen so that it's a good image that they can then have a fair chance at doing in post. And that, if anybody asks, like I hear this all the time, where people send us a whole bunch of images in and they want to be, if you know, I'm just starting out in photography, or I'm just doing this, or I shoot a lot of things. You may be better or have a better eye for composition and photos than your friends, and that puts you in the local group as the photographer. But don't get twisted about what a professional photographer is and what their capability is.
And just exactly what you just explained, I mean, the amount of work you put into just having one deliverable for one client.
Right.
Most for people who call themselves photographers don't even understand that concept yet.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what separates the boys from the men, as they say. You know what right. I mean? Like, so yeah, it's a lot of work that you do, and that's just yeah.
Like,
I will say, you hit a point that so many kids who, and I say kids, but budding photographers, they come up to me and they're like, hey, can you teach me your secrets? I have no problem sitting down and talking about the things that I do,
right?
It's so often composition is such a problem. If you can't see the photo before you take it, you're gonna work so much harder. Yeah. You may be able to make something happen, but that's one of the things that's like super important to me, is like I need to know what my photo, I need to know what the vision of my photo is going to be before I ever get into taking a photo, right? When I go out to a spot in the field, right, at a drift event,
yep.
I'm already thinking about what I'm doing. I sent Luis a photo earlier, a landscape, a night photo from a vacation I did. I already knew in my mind what I wanted that to look like before I even took the photo.
It's like he's right? showing it to me, so it's right.
And understanding composition and understanding the settings of your equipment mm-hmm. is a huge battle that a lot of folks don't think about right before they ever get into photography.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been into photography for over 15 years, right? And so I've come from just touching at the edge of film and kind of pushing into the first years of digital, where like I was playing with stuff, and then obviously watch the technology just get so good. But for me, as ironically, that the photography that I enjoy doing has nothing to do with cars. So not that I don't love shooting cars, I do, but like I don't like doing the still setup, put up lights. Like, it's not really my thing. Like, what Luke Manel can do and make a photo and make these cars, I mean, it's incredible. It's just not, the Tony Harmers of the world. Like, it's just not me. Like, it's not what I enjoy. And I do like shooting some action stuff because it's fun panning and like playing with your motion blurs and stuff like that. But like for me, who I really like headshots, more portraits type things. And for me, I'm always, my biggest thing with photography is my first look. Like, when I'm thinking about a photo, my first thing is obviously like scene, but it's also light. I'm always looking for light, because you can do so much with your camera. But I think if you're an aspiring photographer, one of the things to me is that when you get out and you're shooting, you can't be thinking about settings. Like, you know what I mean? Settings is something that has to come to you naturally, as in, your brain, like, it wants to see this, so it does this, right? If you're like thinking about settings, like, and that's what, when I'm just going back to what you said about the secrets thing, right? There are no secrets. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why I think you feel the same way about like sharing, about sharing kind of what you know. You're not worried about it, because at the end of the day, the majority of what you're going to shoot and what you're going to create comes from the fact that you can see it and you kind of know what that image is supposed to look like.
That's inside.
And then the technical experience that you have of knowing how to manipulate your gear is something that you've learned over, you know, years and years practice. So because of that, that's why I think there's really no threat to you in that side. You're like, hey, look, if you can do this too, you still have years to put in before you're going to get to a certain level. But look, you know, like, a lot of it's not, has nothing to do about the gear and everything to do with, you know, kind of the creative nature of what photography is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're preaching to the choir, man.
I want other people, you know, we don't know exactly who listens to these things. I hope it's a lot more people in the future, but like, you know, I like to think that when we do a podcast, that we try to put out some educational information period. And usually it's about cars. Many times it's about wheels. But when we have a guest on that can bring such a technical and such a useful and dedicated skill set to the podcast, I want people that may be tuning in just in the photography aspect to understand that a photographer is not a person that has a camera in their hand. A photographer is a person that uses that instrument that they're holding to create the art and the imagery and the content that they're able to put together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, again, anybody can pick up a camera and take a picture.
They do.
And they do. Yeah. And I don't like to talk bad about people. And you know, it's all learning. Again, I can pull up photos that I took when I first started that like make me cringe really, really, really hard. But it's also, you know, understanding that even now, right, I'm still learning. I'm still getting better.
Yeah.
And if anybody ever wants to come to me and go, hey, look, I saw this photo that you took and you know what? If I give you this suggestion, can you run with it, right? Will this help you? I'm all for that, right? It's learning. It's knowing that, like, you know, the stuff I did as a computer programmer, I always like to say the code I wrote yesterday was trash.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's so often like I'll pull up a piece of code and I'm like, who wrote this? And then I look at the history of it and I'm like, oh, I wrote this. Right. but it's understanding and being able to learn and being able to keep innovating and keep moving yourself forward. Right. Just because you pick up a camera doesn't mean that you're a photographer. Just because you can, you know, take a photo here and there, it doesn't mean that you're a photographer. It's providing consistent results. It's bringing the vision that you have, the art that you see in your brain, to others and helping them understand the beauty that you see out of this thing, right? That's what being a photographer is, right? Back to the photo that Luis showed you, right? That vision was in my head before I ever took the photo.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just a simple town, a little village on the water, right? But like, unless you know what you're looking for and you know what that's supposed to look like, you know, getting the stars to show, like that's all the art of it, right? And knowing how to manipulate your tool to do that is 90% of the battle.
Yeah.
The taking the photo itself, right? Clicking the button. That's not the value of photography. It's the showing people the vision that you see in your brain.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I like what you said when you said that each time you realize you start getting better. This is one thing that in what I do with breaking and stuff and other things that I do, it's, you know, that quote is you're forever a student, you know? And that applies to life in general, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know, you're forever a student. Doesn't matter, you know? So it's like, that's the wisdom that you probably would instill into new photographers. It's like, if you have a passion for this, go full throttle, you know?
Yeah, keep going.
Then you're going to continuously get better and, you know, just that's how it works, life, yeah. You know?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I said, I look back at photos that I took, you know, even like 2 or 3 years ago, and I go, I've learned this, right? I've figured out this thing, right? And it's made me better. And I always look for insight. I always look for, you know, how do I get better? I will tell you, there are many times, like, I want to learn something. I'll go out and I'll watch YouTube for, you know, an hour trying to figure out this thing.
Yeah.
Always, as you said, always be a student. Always be a student.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, when someone gives you that criticism and you're just like, oh, you don't want to hear it. But then later on, you actually apply it. It's like, it's part of one of those things that at the end of the day, criticism, especially constructive criticism, is always a good thing. You know, take it in.
Yeah, I mean, but criticism is one of those things where I think it depends where it comes from, right?
That too. Well, like, that too.
If
but
if it comes
but,
from yeah. the stands yeah. at a Formula Drift event, go jump off a cliff. If it comes from, if it comes from, let's say, you know, a Larry Chen of the world, that has an enormous amount of, you know, time maybe into this thing. Like, yeah, like, I mean, it comes from a place of true. Whatever, but that's a whole other story all in itself. So, yeah.
Right. Right.
But listen, man, I appreciate you taking some time out, and I'm sorry I wasted for the first half of your
day. We had a whole hour conversation before this hour.
No, it's quite all right. This has been fun. This is like, this is what I look forward to. Again, you know, it's having genuine conversations with genuine people.
Yeah. No, listen, I appreciate it. It's always fun. And we're going to see you in just
a few
days. Yeah,
we're going to see you in a few days. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Scott will be there Friday.
I'm popping in on Friday.
Yeah. So,
okay.
I'll see you Thursday through. And Friday.
Nice. Awesome. Right. I'll be in late Wednesday, but I'll be there all weekend. And then I fly home Sunday.
Nice. Where are you staying? Anywhere? Don't say the place, just like town-wise.
Yeah. I mean, it's an English town. Right. It's yeah. I don't know any of that.
I did talk to him about this. He's and don't say it because I told him not to say it. But if he comes to New York, best pizza is on Long Island. I'm shutting this off.
I don't know that I totally agree, but you know, listen, we're not gonna get into that. Yeah, so anyhow. Yeah. Listen, I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to let you get back to work because we all know that that's what you do in between the events, and we'll see you in a few days.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Kyle.
I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
We'll see you soon. Have a good one.
All right. Have a good one.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
So I think that, you know, having relationships like these, they're good for us because, that's fine. They're good for us because there's a lot that you get out of relationships that have these two-way streets.
Agreed.
I think they're good for you because you get a lot of great content from a lot of cool people.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really nice to be able to have access to somebody that has climbed the ranks, mm-hmm. that has come from all, you know, kind of the walks of life. And you could see this. I mean, I don't want to say this because it may sound and not come out the right way, But you know, look, Kyle is, you know, well up in his career. He's been with the company for a long time. He probably makes a great living and he's got some cool cars and he's got a family. Like he said, he doesn't have to shoot Formula Drift, but his passion has driven him there. And now he's successfully, you know, converted that into probably one of the better side hustle businesses. And I say side hustle only because we all know that as much as he probably works more full time, you know, at that job, just as he does at his other job, that his primary job is still, you know, coding and working for that in the IT situation. So I don't know. We hope you got something good out of this. And if you're an aspiring photographer, I think you should go check out Kyle on social media. Kyle Cross Photography is his Instagram handle. And I think that, you know, you could always DM Kyle. He's super approachable, super reachable. Reach out, touch, you know, see what's going on. Maybe catch up with him at one of the Hyperfests or Grid Lifes or something like that that you'll have there out there in the world.
Yeah. Same thing, you know, I mean, everything I would say, he already said it, you know, as a visual artist myself, this was really fun and I appreciated it. And for the visual artists out there, I think this is a good one. I hope you get to tune in and watch. And if you do, if you are one of the 12 that watches, make sure to share it to your other friends who are visual artists. I think this is good stuff. But yeah, from me and Scott, we appreciate you guys being here with us.
Yep.
Make sure to tune in every Wednesday. We'll be live here at 2 p.m. Live on here. On Instagram, we'll be live at 2 p.m. where Scott answers any question that you have. And then 3 p.m. we are on here. I'm having conversations with the Kyle Crosses of the world and maybe just me and Scott sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Friday, don't forget there's a piece of content dropping. And if you haven't already done so, make sure you hit the like button and subscribe. If it's nothing else, it's for our vanity. But go ahead and do it. Yeah, we appreciate it. And that's it. Yeah. Don't forget to check out the new wheels if you haven't already. Shameless plug. And we'll catch you on the next one. Take care.
Peace.